Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Warning, you are being monitored by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex answering. Outside the box.
So we're going to go through this in stages. I have a series of articles here, and we'll start with the first one entitled Spike in Jobless Rate for Women is Worst in More Than 33 Years. A sharp monthly rise in unemployment for women could be a sign that the economic slowdown has begun to hit working women with a force not seen in decades. When the unemployment rate for women went from 4.6% official figures in July to 5.3% in August, it was the largest one-month spike in the jobless rate for women in more than 33 years. Black women were hit even harder, and their unemployment rate went up 21% from 7.5% to 9.1%. And among single mothers and women with families, unemployment climbed to 9.6% in August, the highest levels in 15 years. Okay, let's go to slide number two, shall we? This was published on July 16th, 2008, it was on Fox News and a couple other mainstream websites, Associated Press. Headline reading, women turn to pole dancing due to rising gas and food prices and other expenses. During these tough economic times, many people are struggling to make ends meet. The city's housing market is in a slump. Gas and food prices are rising, and some say it's either sink or swim. Now some women are going to great lengths to make some extra cash right in Baton Rouge, but it's also the same thing in my city. It's a fantasy, an escape for some women attempting to close off the outside world. However, for the women inside who are barely clothed and strapped into high heels, exotic dancing can be a way to survive. One woman said, "Oh, my bills were getting to be too high, especially when gas started going up. With the average price of gas at the time of this report being $4 and food costs rising, some women are entering the world of adult entertainment." Let me think about that. Just because of gas prices, that they could engineer society to behave a certain way or change a little bit, like their lifestyle, because of the cost of gas. I mean, think about this concept, how simple it is for people to be persuaded to change based on their survival needs. I guess I can pause here and comment on this. People get all so obsessed with, you know, I have to do whatever it takes to get my needs met, even if it sometimes means prostituting your morals or, in some cases, your body. In a local report, we're hearing stories about a massive prostitution problem in northeast Portland. It's always been an issue over there off of Sandy and 82nd. But Randy Leonard, who's on the city council, says that there are human traffickers involved. And one person told me that they thought that the Russians were still involved. The Russians were still involved. And that the Portland police were on the take. I had asked, is this somebody on the streets that was out and about quite often in that world, living in that world? And had asked her if that was the case, if there really were some human traffickers involved in what was going on out there. And apparently it's gotten really, really bad. And there's a lot more crime in Portland and violence on women. And it's a bit much to deal with. I mean, when you talk about people panicking in the future, that's a whole nother level. You talk about people just acting strange and unusual today. It's here now. There was a bright orange full moon the other night. And you could feel it in the air. And you walk in, maybe, to one of your favorite pubs or place where you stop in and see your friend who's working and ask them how they're doing, how crazy of a night it's been. It becomes a part of the regular conversation. Hey, some crazy night yesterday or whatever. How's it tonight? And they'll tell you, about some crazy story. Well, funny you asked. You know, and you'll hear something and it just blows your socks off. But there are so many stories about human trafficking in our country, and celebrities at some points getting involved in it. Here we have a former wrestler sentenced on sex trafficking and forced labor charges. This comes to us from Reuters in April of this year. His name was Harrison Norris Jr., a.k.a. Hardbody Harrison. He was from Georgia. He was sentenced to life in prison. Multiple violations of federal sex trafficking and forced labor statutes in connection with a scheme to force women into prostitution. And the particular description of how he would headbutt the women into submission to have sex with men is quite graphic. And it's the world I live in, and I hate it sometimes. And some people say, well, you know, I wish I was born 20 years ago when things were a lot calmer. You know, when relationships were a little bit, you know, I guess to a certain degree more normal than what they are today. A little bit more open, not as filled with all the drama and issues and programming as to who we are and who we should be going after in this life. What's okay, what's not okay. Things of that nature. But the reality is we weren't born 20 years ago. Maybe a time of well, 20 years ago was 1988. There were a lot of problems then that we don't still have to this day. So it wasn't always a bowl of cherries. I got to remind myself that just thinking that if you were born 20 years ago or at a different time, it doesn't necessarily mean your life would be easier. Sometimes there were other sets of challenges that women faced then or men faced then or especially African-Americans faced 50, 60 years ago. 40 years ago, you take a look at the 1968 DNC, heavy violence, and a lot of stuff pertaining to civil rights. There were also a lot of riots that happened in that year that weren't reported because they didn't want it to continue to spread, but there were a lot of cities that were ablaze in that year, in 68, African-American communities, ghettos. You know, it was a little bit more expansive than what you saw in Los Angeles or what you read about in Chicago, the riots that took place there. So, I mean, we come from a very, very crazy place. We have a very strange history. It's not all bad. It's not all about focusing on just the bad, but we're trying to dig a cancer out of our calf in a primitive fashion here. We're not in the government here. We can only affect so much change. We're trying to shine the light on these horrible things and try to at least get people to have a dialogue about their future, about their level of preparedness, their connection with their family or their loved ones, what their backup plan is. But in some cases, it's all about questioning why we're even here in the first place going through it. Now, at this point, I'll go back to the news and at least try to cover some other things. Well, this is really, really bizarre to see it get so satanic, and you can call it satanic without being a Christian. You can identify that this is pure evil. It's mind control without stating that you're believing in a certain belief system or book. People think that, well, if you just said that and you picked a box, people would be more receptive to what you're saying. This was told to me yesterday by a friend. Wait a minute. But it wasn't through that I came to this conclusion. Just because what I'm saying so much to you seems like so much of what you've heard out of the Bible, out of Christ's mouth, doesn't mean that's where I got my ideas. And that does not even discount his power either, or disrespect the power of Jesus, or the concept of Jesus, or at least what that idea represents to people, for people in the audience that don't even believe that he even existed. There's a way that we can all come together and have a conversation about this strange thing called life. How the full moon affects our bodies, which are mostly made up of water. We have a mysterious past, and we have never had all the answers as to what went on thousands of years ago. It just appears to change over time, and also appears to change depending on who you're talking to, what book you're reading, what language it's in, what culture it happens to be in. I take a look at what even MSNBC is reporting about our world. School shooting drill terrifies unknowing teachers. So we're at the point now where we force children into the public educational school system. They're mandated to have their vaccinations. There are many schools with their thumbs skinning to get their lunch. And they're being terrorized with firearms, as well as the teachers. And there's nothing that they can really do about it when the PTA appears to have no power. And the police just pretty much shrug their shoulders. I mean, I understand this isn't legal. I understand that there are constitutionalists that listen to the show. There are people out there that aren't listening to the Constitution, that don't care. To go ahead and have a revolution, we start marching people into court and prosecuting people like Bush for life requires people in our legal system to know what the law is and be willing to enforce it. And the question is, are they? They've already taken control over our courts. Now they're looking to take control of much more. And that was a little bit alarming to hear about the Third and Fourth Amendment being violated by the government seizing homes and therefore being the owner, or the mortgage lending companies, loaning companies, so therefore owning the homes through a kind of backdoor type of method. But it's not surprising. It's simply overwhelming. Because it's harder now in this world to just simply take a vacation, to go travel around the world, to go experience another culture, to get a passport and go through the check when now 1 in 300 are now on the terror watch list. When I was young, I thought about wanting to travel and go to Hong Kong and go to all these places and do this and do that. And those dreams can pretty much get shattered once you realize how expensive it is, all the security, especially today, that you have to go through. And how hard you have to work just to get those dollars, which are being devalued more and more by the day. What they do here is shatter dreams in the process of the economy, and that's why people go crazy. But I think that's also because people have a dependency on the financial system, on money as a whole. It's been taught to us most of our life. When you were in kindergarten or the first grade, you began to learn to count. Pennies, dimes, fake money. There were games like Monopoly. It was a part of our world. It was around us. Money is energy. We all know that. I mean, it's neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. But it gets to a point where people depend on it psychologically for their own value. And people get taught in this world that when it comes to interacting with other people, their status is what means something, because you need to maintain a survival mode. I can't, you know, be with this person or hang out with this person unless we're in the same type of class system, or in the other scheme of things, wear the same type of clothes, because we're herd animals to a certain extent and we can form just so we're not alone and just kind of like twiddling our thumbs reading a book. See, all my life I've seen different cliques, different groups in high school and middle school, and I've always observed them kind of from a distance. I was always very fascinated by it. I mean, even the nerds themselves, you know, the kids that play Dungeons and Dragons and Magic and all of these things, not to put you down if it's something you've done, or maybe you're in the World of Warcraft, perhaps, regardless. That wasn't for me either. Neither was video games. I stayed away from all that. But I can see the different cliques based on what they were into. And we have so many different things here in our world to distract us and pull us into these fantasy lands, including things like fantasy football. I don't know how to approach that. I'm still grappling with the concept of people spending their time betting or playing a game based on fake characters that means nothing today and even less tomorrow. It's so mind-boggling. But it's something that the human species has to work out. Because the answer to what we're facing isn't a political problem. It's something so bizarre. And it's driving people insane trying to figure out what it is. Bilderberg Group and CFR and the Trilateral Commission are friends for something else. It's not clear why they want the New World Order. It's not clear why they're modifying the human species. It's not clear why they're spraying us. When you say they're spraying us to hurt us or depopulate us, to bring about a new world order, to bring the population down by 80%. Still does not explain why they're doing it or why they believe it has to be done. Their writings only show so much. So much of what our movement has done is quote them by their own books. Do you think that everything would be in their books, the full master plan? Because there's something overarching, I feel, that's above this. That's above our very ability to define, because of our limited intellect as humans, that we may be a subspecies to something else that's out there, that's been perhaps interacting with us, or at the very least, our government. I don't think we're alone here. And on the concept of angels and demons, I think, like a scene from Ghostbusters, this planet has become very, very crowded in recent years, especially in terms of demons and those that come to influence people's minds if they allow their minds to be open to the experience of a demonic possession or takeover. There's a story now in Russia, 300 miles east, where a gang of Satanists, so they call them Satanists, but regardless, it is satanic in nature what they had actually done. They cooked and they ate three girls and a guy. They were 16 years old, the victims, 16, 17, and so were the attackers. And they buried them and marked the spot where it happened with an upside-down cross. We at least have to ask the question, what's really wrong in the psyche of man right now when these stories appear to come out on a regular basis? I don't think anything happens by accident in this universe. I see people changing. I don't think it's completely a coming scenario of 28 days later. It may not be as sinister as something like that, but it's here. It's here for us now to look at. It's some sort of weird mirror effect. We'll be back after this. 512-646-1984 if you have any thoughts on this strange world we're in.
We the People. We the People Radio Network. Educational. Inspirational. Constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Hey, you know what this crazy bastard's voting on? Putting his money out? What I'm shooting for? What I'm waiting for? What I'm anticipating? I don't know. Something's going to shake up the whole planet, though. And it won't be just some shifting of who's the president. I mean, poll shift? I don't know. But, you know, interesting stuff there. Interesting stuff with the magnetic field shifting. Interesting stuff with behavior changes. I mean, here we are seeing people, you know, just drooling for blood, running around, you know, shedding their peers for a bizarre dinner in a weird village cottage 300 miles east of Moscow in Russia. We've seen stuff like that happen here in the United States as well, and that guy was beheaded over in Canada on a Greyhound bus with no emotion. The guy that did the killing, just no emotion, just no big deal. So I don't know. But in terms of the other potential, that's the metaphysical stuff. Whatever you believe, whatever, man. But power of thought is real. And I think that it is possible in these times to become more clear by being mindful about that, having that intent. I believe that. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but it also catapults new change. We all know that. A lot of people grow from a really bad experience. Putting your hand on a hot stove, you kind of have some sort of an intimate connection with that stove. Oh, when it's hot, I get hurt. And there are other things that you learn as you're growing up, like accidentally touching the electric socket and getting shocked, your little 75-pound body jumping up, crying for mommy. Or maybe you grew up on the ranch somewhere, and you're about 2 years old, and you walked up and touched that horse wire, the electric wire that keeps in the horses, or whatever cow you might have had. I remember that. I remember seeing some friends really freaked out, a little bit too much so. I remember this girl who was a friend of mine, she was about 8, touched it. She was pretty traumatized for about 10 minutes. It's a jolt to your system. And what kind of jolt to the system will people be experiencing when the ATM says that they're out of order, or there's no power? It's frightening. So I'm always looking for a way to provide a new sense of hope or direction where I can see that. What have I talked about? I don't feel like I've done enough. I've talked about permaculture and growing food, storing water, fertilizer, whatever you might need to defend yourself, of course. But, I mean, securing land, I mean, I feel like the suggestions I have aren't any different than the suggestions that other people have laid out. I mean, I may bring it up sometimes more than other people or have in the past, talking about purchasing whole grains, stuff that lasts for several years, putting it away from burying it or having it in different locations, definitely getting some extra money, some ones, some fives. I can't do all of those things, but I know that if I had the ability to, I would have a lot of stuff stashed aside. But for me, it's really like you can be in a situation where you're robbed or where you're not near that food or you're separated from it or you're separated from your crew or your walkie-talkie or your whatever, your pack. Or maybe you're in a situation where someone takes it all away from you as you're running down into the woods somewhere. Someone with a bigger gun than yours. Or if you have no gun, someone just with other people that are willing to rob you because they don't have anything. All that's on the table. All that's on the table. For me, it's more of a psychological survival. And when you start talking about that, you know, you don't always have a lot of feedback on it. But I talk about how relationships are really bizarre, whether it be male, female, or relationships with your coworkers, or, you know, you go down to a restaurant, you just feel that tension from that waitress or that waiter that just doesn't like you because, you know, things are really tough right now, and you're in there relaxing yourself, relaxing, having a good time, and they're not. So they might be a little bit rude as they slam your plate down and walk away without saying anything. And I'm just describing things I go through on a regular basis. On the other end, working in the restaurant, you can understand the callousness that people have towards waiters and servers that act like they are the elite themselves. That happens too. So it happens on both ends. Both ends. And so me, I'm trying not to get caught up in the middle of it, being around restaurants, working in one and going out to them, being the recipient of the rude waiter and the recipient of the weird, rude, obnoxious, elitist guest. All because they don't feel quite right. And that's why we have a police state. Because we have a world where people can be put in a position of authority where they can abuse other people and actually get away with it. And a lot of people go into the field of being a cop so they can do just that. Not everybody. No one's generalizing here. But a lot of people do. And a lot of thugs do find their way into the military, where a lot of things have happened that we aren't fully aware of. We've heard about some of the gang rapes and some of the killings in Haditha. But we haven't heard it all. And so spiritual survival is more of though something that you have to come to on your own. You go from physical to mental to spiritual. And it's like, well, what do you believe in terms of this life experience? Do you think it's all random and all about just survival and worrying about your body and staying here forever? Because we all are going to die at one point. So once you can at least accept that there's some stuff that we can't control, what else is there to being here? I mean, wake up maybe in the middle of the night and you just kind of wonder, like, where have I been the last 10 years? And where am I going the next 10 years? Isn't there some sort of a timeless type of feeling late at night? Things are real quiet, an almost floating type of feeling, a surreal type of feeling, when you're really tapped into the fact that there's something bizarre about this consciousness that's in your body. I mean, does anybody ever feel that way or feel themselves wake up in the middle of the night with some sort of a question as to where you really are, where you really truly are? I think we live in a society where we are still condemned or burned at the stake like witches to a certain degree by questioning outside of orthodox belief systems, even if they're New Age belief systems that are supposedly open-minded about the world and the universe and full of love, yet in some cases may have their own dogma attached to this group or that group with their own little guru and belief system, BS, dictating the fundamental framework of the universe. All right, I'll shout off a couple headlines here. IMF head says worst of financial crisis may lie ahead, and more major financial institutions may face trouble in the coming months. The IMF director says the roots of the crisis are behind us, the roots being the fall in housing prices. Consequences for some financial institutions are still in front of us. We have to expect there may be in the coming weeks and coming months other financial institutions with some issues. Still, the world economy was very resilient and should rebound in 2009. This economist said to reporters after a meeting with Gulf Arab finance ministers. I wonder who was pitching and who was catching in that meeting. AIG. AIG has been bailed out by about 80%. Here's a commentary that may be interesting. The financial elite can't bail out everyone. This is from Lee Rogers, RogueGovernment.com. It is difficult to know where to begin when analyzing the unraveling global financial system, as so much has happened over the past couple of weeks and months. One thing that is for sure is that neither the Federal Reserve nor the U.S. government can bail out everyone. We are seeing a mass consolidation of wealth on a wide scale. It's all being done by design. What is now happening is a result of fiscal policies put into place by the Federal Reserve banking system that encouraged reckless lending and borrowing on all levels. This month, we've seen major reshuffling on Wall Street with the U.S. government nationalizing the two largest home mortgage owners, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. The bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, the Bank of America purchase of Merrill Lynch, and now the $85 billion bailout of insurance giant AIG. All right, this is a long report, obviously. Let me pick out some key elements of it when we come back from this next brief break. 512-646-1984. Do you think the world's going a little bit mad? Do you think? Just for a minute. Do you think? Just a little bit insane. Just a bit.
News, politics, cover-ups, government corruption. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
WTPRN.
A lot of pressure every Thursday doing that TV show. I'm thinking about how the show is going to go down tomorrow, what I'm going to talk about, the order of news I'm going to present. I always try to do a good show on Thursday and keep things very clear and focused. And it's hard right now. I'm looking at all this stuff, and Monday a lot of stuff happened. I mean, we're looking at the U.S. dollar being dumped in Brazil and Argentina. This is real quick. Real quick. Gold's going up way up right now, and silver, that's where the place is to be. Precious metals will never go to zero in value. I don't believe that. That's going to be a currency that's somewhat stable to a certain degree, or, you know, a hard form of wealth. I don't know. But you won't be able to use it necessarily during the crash. That's the issue. That's why you have to diversify and you have to have food and other things you can trade with and barter with. But if only there was a way that we could be having more positive conversations about change other than survival and staying alive and resisting a martial law situation, fighting the police state. If only the conversation was more involved. Picture like a reality where people are calling in at WTPRN about how their garden is going, their own local currency they may be trying to establish, their survival groups in their own hometown, maybe the town halls that they're starting to establish in some of the other small rural areas where the neighbors start talking to other neighbors that have farms about what they would do in case of a big disaster. Neighbors talking to each other that may be in the city, realizing that they are facing a unknown future and they may need to actually have a conversation. And they may be on different sides of the political spectrum. One person may be really hoping for Obama. And then you get this whole argument with someone that worships the guy who doesn't even want to hear the basic facts about Zbigniew Brzezinski or about Henry Kissinger or about Joe Biden. Are any of things involving 9/11 or why the cameras are really going on? So it gets very overwhelming. And still, there are people that need hope. If only there was a website, something that had that angle more than anybody. I want to be able to wear that hat. But you look at the scenario, and I can't get around telling people that it's an individual choice to be a better person in this world. That's an individual choice to want to help other people and not be selfish, to want to be there when it goes down, trying to get people water or direct people a certain way, or to protect people, perhaps protect women from being abducted by foreign troops. See, I see things like that in my head. I talk to other people that have had similar dreams or visions or feelings or concerns or ideas. And how can you not go that place in your mind? We got no money left. We're done. We're broke. We've got nothing. They're buying up critical infrastructure. Things are getting more dangerous. We're not more secure. We're less secure. Look at the kids. They're stuck in a video game. They're living in one. Thumb's getting to eat. It's expanding. Candy bars for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Nutritional content in the body going down. No one ever really being able to address why more kids are obese with the dangers behind the genetically modified food. You try to provide a sense of hope. And I want to like tell myself, for every bad thing that I'm going to talk about tomorrow, maybe I can say something inspirational and moving. And that's all something that we desire, to be moved, to hear something that inspires us, or for me, to inspire myself to keep going, to impress myself and go, wow, you actually did that. You actually made an impact here. Because it's psychological warfare, or it's actually like a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, what a lot of people are going through, as a result of the psychological warfare and the bombardment of all that stuff on the TV and all the apathetic people around us. That's also traumatic. And so how do people heal from something like that? Keep moving forward. Keep believing in something. Because I see the war on consciousness being here right now. Why they started the war on 888, that time in history, all lined up. And I'm also concerned about November 11th. 9/11 reversed. Wondering if it may have some thing waiting for us at that time, knowing how they play things on certain numbers. But it's just like it's to the point where I don't see anything short of a big catastrophe bringing people together of those different groups. You have people with so much information that would work really well together. People that have been looking at the government conspiracy stuff, and people that know how to grow food and store food, and survivalists, basically. People that know how to live off the land. Then you have all these other people that can do a lot of interesting things with technology and websites. If only we were working together more. And then you have people that are linked in together with other groups. But when it gets into partisan politics, that's when the arguments start. That's the problem with all this. So I don't get way into it, because I see the whole Sarah Palin thing is a big distraction. She comes out talking about how wonderful our kids are, how our son's going to go to Iraq soon, and you know, meanwhile, she's got chaos in her own life. And people are saying all this stuff about her family and her daughter and expecting people to focus on it, when the reality is the whole thing's corrupt. They've never really been debating. Hillary and Obama never have debated. Ron Paul and some of the other guys were barely allowed to debate as long as they did. That's why Ron Paul was removed from the situation and vote fraud occurred during the primaries. When you take a look at the, or not the primaries, but the, I believe this was in New Hampshire, where like he got zero votes in certain counties. You take a look at this situation, there's never really been a debate with the candidates on the stage right now. None of it's real. I don't even believe that it's real, like they're actually going after one another. Like, there's a loose script, and you ad-lib around this. Here's the safe zone, here's the dangerous zone, and that sounds so very conspiratorial. But I don't see anything genuine but another soap opera face in front of me who has their makeup on, who's trying to say it just right. You know, I feel the punch, you go down. You know, I'm going to use my left. You're going to fall back to your left, and you're going to go down softly. You know, it's going to be just like that. And then a couple weeks, you're going to say this about me. And you, Bill Clinton, are going to say, kiss my ass to me, Obama. And I'm going to, you know, hold my head up high and say that I still can provide change for the American people. And later on, you'll come over to my side. And we're going to ask the Clinton supporters to come on board and bring us all together in one union as the Democratic Party. But in the meantime, we're still going to have these divisions, the man versus the woman, the black man versus the white woman, most particularly. So you have the racial divide as well as the gender divide. And we're all just keep people basically in a state of confusion as to what's actually going on. While the dollar continues to be devalued, while things continue to get worse in the streets, we'll continue to throw the ball back and forth and smile. Always remember to smile because people want to feel good. Well, let's make them feel real good and give them a show. Give them a wild show. Get creative. Yeah, Bill Clinton tells Obama to kiss his ass. Maybe we can even add in some sort of a new drama into the script where, oh, at the very end, Hillary Clinton maybe leaves Bill Clinton for Barack Obama. Oh, and they get married, and they'll have like a weird little like type of orgy scene in the White House, and they'll have their own Franklin cover-up scandal of 2009. For those that never heard of the Franklin cover-up scandal, people that are probably lost right now just tuning in going, what's this guy, this lunatic rambling about? Just Google it and you'll find yourself back in the air. 1989, reading about little boys taking midnight tours of the White House. Seriously, Washington Times, 1989. You'll find screenshots of the actual physical newspaper, but I don't think anything straight off the web. Anyway, it's a big drama. And then you got McCain running around like a madman. Bomb, 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 Iran. Talking about, I'm going to get them gooch. You can get them gooch. McCain's a lunatic. McCain is a lunatic. Don't you think it's just a little odd that this $1 trillion, might I say trillion instead of billion? Because, oh, I don't know, we are dead. In debt. In upwards of up to $100 trillion from what I've heard. Real estimates. They just tell you about $2 to $3 trillion. That just to keep you from rioting. No. You think a $1 trillion military industrial complex would put their money behind full on McCain with the way he behaves? I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that all their money would really be behind him. We see a lot of elitist characters and guys in the military industrial complex behind Barack Obama. The thing is, with McCain, it's almost as if they're pushing people in the direction of Obama. Like a Las Vegas boxing match in the 1940s, the mob controlling literally both the fighters, having McCain set up to take the fall for Obama. Or maybe it'll just get crazy where they'll just take Obama out by assassination and start a race war. Yeah. Maybe they got that in the cards. And then they'll just be just total chaos. Then we can have martial law. Yeah, then that would work. Maybe you can just add in an invasion of Iran and the entire recipe, all the diamonds, just set up. Just light a match.
Giving the power back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Last segment here on the People Radio Network. My website's alexhanser.com. There's some additional information there. We're here once a week. Do a TV show once a week. Put that on Google. And we're just here monitoring the situation, and it comes down to these individual choices. Getting basically your backyard get cleaned up to a certain degree. And going back to the news, there was a certain report about CERN that caught my attention. It was talking about UFOs over that area. And I don't know exactly what's going on, but there's a lot of weird symbolism attached to CERN. Some people have said that the logo for CERN appears to be the 666. But they're not all lined up, 666. They're upside down and kind of inverted a little bit. And yeah, there's also some symbolism involving Shiva the Destroyer, a Hindu god of war who had become death, destroyer of worlds. Not necessarily, there's different perspectives on these Hindu gods, but that's one symbol they used with CERN, which is kind of strange. And so here you have these UFO sightings, which may have been some special project they're working on up there. I mean, who knows? But it's out there. That's one piece of news that you might not have known about. Maybe it's nothing. I think everything's just totally nuts. You don't even know what to believe anymore. All I know is there's an economic collapse coming. People are just losing it over it because they don't understand why they don't have as much money or why people are as angry in the streets. So they just react with more fear instead of, you know, maybe an idea of, oh, maybe we should become more connected people that are around each other, whether they're at work or their neighbors, friends and family, a little bit more connected. And I don't feel like that sense of connection is there yet to make the change that we need. So it's going to be a wild ride. I'm going to be staying in Portland in the meantime. I'd like to be, you know, maybe 45 minutes east or an hour east, maybe an hour and a half. But for now, I'm here. And I will try every day of my life, the rest of my life, to look at the real, genuine bright side of things and the power that we do have in not a cliche way. Because I see how people's minds are being directed towards self-destruction. And that's what hurts. See, there's all the news out there that bothers us. And then there's watching people react to it. Hurting themselves, hurting other people, getting in this weird state of depression. I don't like it. And I don't like being around it. Because then it also affects you and your energetic field. You're walking down the street. People are depressed. People are acting bizarre. Just about everybody seems to be getting drunk. And you may be someone that drinks once in a while, but you don't want to turn into an alcoholic. But then you walk around your environment and you see this is just what people do in your age group. It gets a little bit frustrating. And a lot of people can identify with that type of feeling, you know, or trying to quit smoking but living in a world where you're constantly seeing cigarette packs marketed towards you. Well, that's nothing. Not to get way back into the world of high technology, but invasive advertising of the future, billboards that may be able to in some way identify you, maybe through RFID technology, identify you, and through that, your interests, where you go on the net, what you purchase, what your interests are, and then custom tailor an ad specifically just for you. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning when you look at what they can beam into people's minds in terms of both images and sound, but also ways that you could subliminally influence people. That stuff's been used for years. To take back the power of your own mind, to me, is at the essence of what this is really all about. When I look at my life and shattering my old belief systems, when I look at the challenges of the future, it's about changing our mindset and learning something big. And if you're stuck in an old dogmatic belief system where you're told you're only this powerful, that certain things aren't possible, well, that's just how it's going to be. And you may go through layers and layers and layers of additional feelings of pain to go, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Maybe I've been just a wee bit arrogant, closed-minded. And it's at that point where you have to go beyond ego and look deep within for the answers. Because our egos, our minds, mess us up big time. There's this book someone gave me, and I was thinking about referring to it. But the show's about over in a couple minutes. And we have time for one last phone call if somebody does want to call real quick at 512-646-1984. Otherwise, we'll talk again maybe next week. But knowing about the ego, It's this illusionary self that takes us away from just knowing something or trusting our heart, because we're in a world where we're overly analytical. There's so much to think about. There's so much stimuli, so many problems to fix, so many confrontations, complications, competitions, confusion. I'd like to be in a different planet. Someday, if things continue to unravel this way, or at least in my mind, to experience just another realm of peace, another dimension of existence. To at least put my mind in that direction, my heart in that direction, my spirit in that direction, the different parts of my being. to align them up in that direction, to where I want to ascend to something higher. And I see everything here, all the wars, all the famines we'll see in the future, and the food riots and the rapes and the destruction, as a big learning experience for everybody here. To be able to know that and have a sense of peace with that and acceptance, but still fight, that takes some mastery, and I'm working on that. Because there's only so much we can change. Maybe some of you are just gifted with the ability to see some of the stuff before it happens, that you got the right info at the right time. Because I found in my life that you don't always go out seeking info and getting it and processing it through your mind and regurgitating it back out on paper, out of your mouth, explain to someone else what you see in a documentary. Sometimes the information finds you when you're ready for it, or a certain person finds you when you're supposed to connect with them and have some mutual sharing of something. We learn from each other. When we're isolated, we don't grow. And that is one of the natural reasons, beautiful reasons why people are gravitated towards other people, other than being herd animals. Not to be dehumanizing, but many people do behave like herd animals when it comes to just wanting to be with someone else so they're not alone. That means conforming there. Like I said earlier, their belief systems are who they are. But in a beautiful sense, we learn from one another. And in a realm or a reality where we're disconnected from one another, there's turmoil and there's a sense of war within. And there's a collective war, I think, within man's psyche. Collectively, the whole embodiment of all of our minds together, fused into one. A collective psyche where we aren't well. And there's a lot of information within this global mind for us to tap into. We just got to believe and kind of develop and harness the tools to get there. Because we're not in an environment or a realm that is supportive for someone that wants to look into other realities. It's not conducive when you live in a reality where we have to spend our time working and worrying and being in fear of an invading force or a predator or being broke or being homeless. It is not conducive. Yet at the same time, those very experiences, when they get really extreme, experiences of disconnection, of feeling isolated, that can be the very thing that drives someone to look within, even though they may be stuck in a really bad environment, not in the most ideal situation to grow spiritually. It can still happen because adversity brings certain things out of us and changes us. And so, in conclusion here, we'll pick up next week and take more phone calls. People are going to change as a result of the collapse that is upon us already in slow motion. People will have no choice because their survival needs will change. All of a sudden, their ATM card is not the most important thing in their life. It's how much food they have at home, who's around them. That's what's going to be real. Everything else is going to be an illusion. Look at the football stars today. They mean very little today and even less tomorrow. Who are the real heroes today for our generation? They're not here in the multimedia. Real hero is something that cares about their fellow brothers and sisters. Whether they are someone that consider them to be biological brothers and sisters is not the point. We are brothers and sisters, and those are real heroes, people that can identify that and fight tyranny without being afraid. And against all odds, worrying about being shot, worrying about failure, all those things are just going to hurt us in the long run. But anyway, news and information at alexhansery.com, and there's more info coming up here with Eric Koru Show right here on We the People Radio Network, and I'll be back next week, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, right here on WTPRN.com.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.